So you have a computer, but you feel like you're not making the most of it because you don't have the appropriate training. Well, there are a whole lot of people who are offering training at pretty reasonable prices, and the National Braille Press's latest initiative seeks to give you easy access to information about who's out there and what they offer. To talk about that and other titles available from the National Braille Press, I'm joined now by Anna Dressner. Well, Anna, a lot of people listening to this program are interested in improving their computer skills and finding ways to do even more with their computer, and that's why the latest offering from National Braille Press, which is coming out now, I believe, is so exciting. Can you tell us a bit about it and how it came to be?
Sure. The book is called, you get the thing in front of me to get the exact title, One-on-One, A Directory of Adaptive Technology Trainers for Blind Computer Users. And basically what it is a listing of, well, the front part of the book is a listing of computer trainers, people who sent in their submissions. So we have their contact information and a small description of what they do. And then we have a very brief section with listings by Henner Joyce, Freedom Scientific, and GW Micro, describing some train-the-trainer things that they do. And then in the back, we have listings of trainers in different agencies or organizations, and that's just contact information. It came about because a man named Ed Potter, who runs a magazine called Playback, got inspired to do something when one of his subscribers sent him a message saying that she wanted to sell her new computer, because she'd had it for a little while and she couldn't find anybody to help her learn to use it. And so he thought that there should be some way people could call somebody and get a little bit of help, kind of the way he and his wife had with their computer, by calling the manufacturer and getting help from their help desk. His idea was to have volunteer trainers. We have a few in there, but most people in there charge something for their services, so we didn't do that, but at least we still have the idea that someone could find resources to help them.
That's real tragic, isn't it, when somebody buys a computer and you hear so many wonderful things about what they have to promise, the way that they can liberate blind people from all sorts of things, and then they find that they're becoming disillusioned because they don't have access to the training that they need.
It really is. It's very sad, and then you get into the vicious circle of people needing computers in order to get jobs and needing to know how to use them, but nobody being willing to help them train for a job until they already have one. And, you know, it's just very sad, and it's something that needs to be improved.
The trainers that you have listed, are they people who provide all-round training, or are there some who specialize in a particular field, whether it be, you know, spreadsheet work or database or word processing, that kind of thing?
It's a mix. I think your entry is probably one of the more specialized ones. But we have, and there's a lot of people who are pretty general. We have those screen reader ones, which are just specifically, you know, Henner Joyce script writing class. You know, there's a couple of people who just say they know how to teach a couple of programs, and so it's really, you know, we left it wide open in terms of what people wanted to offer.
How is the book structured? So if people are looking for something specific, how would they go about finding it?
Well, the last section that lists just state agencies and that sort of thing is listed by state. Unfortunately, this edition is pretty U.S. focused, but hopefully that will change in the future. The front section, we have everybody listed alphabetically, which is, you know, we didn't do a lot of categorizing within. So we basically have three major sections: the individual trainers, the screen reader manufacturers, and the state agency section.
And what formats is it available in?
It's in Braille, disc, and large print.
Right, so that should pretty much satisfy just about everybody, considering it's a computer book. What's the retail price of it?
$12 US.
That's very reasonable. And is that including shipping? I presume it would go free matter?
Yeah, that's correct. So anybody, any place in the world could order it. It would, you know, just take a while for free matter. Or you can pay more and have it sent UPS if you want.
And is online ordering available at this stage for National Braille Press material?
It isn't. We're hoping to get that going soon, but we don't have it up just yet. You can order by email. Some people will do that, and if they want to send their credit card information, they'll send it in two or maybe four different emails a couple minutes apart. If you want to do that, you can do send it to orders@nvp.org.
So what are the risks of sending your whole credit card number over the email in your view? Is it an unsound thing to do?
I don't know. I mean, I certainly hear a lot of different things about it. I just know that, you know, some people are cautious about doing that. We don't, you know, if you send it that way, there's no special security in place. You know, I mean, it's just sending an email, so it has the same, you know, same chances of being, same small but real chance of being intercepted as any other email on the internet. But I know Joanne in customer service said that somebody from England, I think it was, ordered something and had tried the, you know, sending it in several messages. So I know that's something people do occasionally.
It's interesting. What I really find intriguing about the whole National Braille Press model of doing things is that you're not just producing material, that you're not just transcribing stuff that's already been done, that there are a number of publications that are computer-related and blindness-specific, that it seems that MBP is actually commissioned. Is that how it works?
Yeah, we try to... In our publishing division, we have a contract services division that simply transcribes material. But in our publishing division, a lot of what we do is try to find out what people want and then create books that accomplish that. Like one of our upcoming projects is a intermediate book on using Microsoft Word, because we did a book a couple years ago, a beginning book. Sharon Monty from Minnesota is a computer trainer who adapted a mainstream book, but that's harder to do when you get to intermediate stuff. You know, the way you do things is pretty different. So in that case, she wrote an intermediate book on Word, which I'm now editing, and hopefully will be out before too much longer.
Can you tell us about the kind of things that get in an intermediate book? I mean, where do you differentiate between the introductory material that you've already got out there and this intermediate thing that will shortly be published?
Well, it will include some information on styles, what they are and how to use them, mail merge, macros, not total, complete, in-depth kinds of things that you would see in an advanced book that has every little feature, but enough at least hopefully to get people started, forms and tables, a detailed discussion of find and replace, so that, you know, you're not just looking for words, but also how to find paragraph marks and replace them with manual line breaks or that sort of stuff. Is that something that you want to do?
Are your authors finding it tougher now to write blindness-specific material that is also not screen reader specific? Because it seems to me that some of the screen readers are getting so complex these days that actually you can almost have an alternative interface to the application that means that if you're running an alternative screen reader, a set of instructions may not make any sense at all.
That's a really good point, and that is a problem. With the Word book, there are a few places where you know, we kind of said, well, if you're using JAWS, you can do this, and, you know, maybe other screen readers try to find some equivalent commands kind of thing. We tried to keep it as much as possible focused on how to do it using Word commands, and just, you know, occasionally, like with tables or something where it's just where some of those other commands, say, in JAWS really help. We might include a couple of them, but we try to keep that real limited so that somebody using Window Eyes or something else won't be left out of half the chapter.
Are you getting a lot of feedback about these kinds of books? Because in recent years, Microsoft has got a lot better at publishing some documentation on their Enable website, which can help people. But then I suppose often people get a bit stuck because what they're really doing is just producing the same documentation that they've written for sighted people, and a good computer user may be able to translate the point and click instructions, but for a new user, I guess it's mighty confusing to have that stuff.
It can be, definitely. And also, a lot of times people will want something in hard copy, you know, having an actual Braille document in front of them, so they're not having to switch back and forth between their, between the document from Microsoft and their work is real helpful.
Can you tell us?
It's interesting though, we actually have published, we did publish, the Windows 98 reference guide that came right off of the Microsoft site. We actually had people at Microsoft calling us up wanting copies because they couldn't find it on their own website.
Okay. Can you tell us about some other computer-related titles? I realize it might be putting you on the spot a bit, and I don't expect you to have an encyclopedic knowledge of the catalog, but are there things that you might want to draw main menu listeners' attention to?
Well, we have a lot of reference cards, which are lists of keyboard commands, now, as opposed to something like the Word Book, which is a full tutorial. We have one for Eudora 4, I guess it is. We'll probably have to be updating that one soon.
Mm.
Internet Explorer 5 with Outlook Express. In the spring, we did an Office 2000 card that has keyboard commands for Word, Excel, Access, and Outlook. Let's see, we still have Windows 95 Explained, which is a tutorial on Windows written by Sarah Morley, and we're working on a little addendum to go with that. She and I have been putting together that will put in Windows 98 information. Of course, the way these things go now when those millennium's here, but hopefully it'll still be relevant for a good while anyway.
Yes, I've never taken a look at Windows 95 Explained, but everybody who I know who has speaks very highly of the very clear way in which the graphical user interface is explained and how a blind person can interact with that.
Well, one thing I really like about that book is the tactile diagrams that go with it. You can buy them as a set. You can buy either one or both, but the... You know, if diagrams mean anything to you, I think they're really clear. They show what the different window screens look like and dialog boxes, and you know, it's kind of fun to see radio buttons with the one button pushed in and the other one sticking up. You know, it kind of makes it all a little more real.
Now, I think you've also recently published a book from Olga Espinola about the internet. Is that correct?
A little over a year ago we did one called Captured by the Net, which is, it's a good introduction. It kind of talks about what is the internet, what's the difference between accessing it with a DOS account or a Windows account, using it with a note taker like Braille and Speak versus a full-fledged computer, what kinds of things you can and can't do, what is email, what's the web, what is spam, and suggestions for dealing with that. And at the back, there's a big resource list that has a lot of different sources for audio and different books and CD Wizard and all sorts of other things that people, you know, that she thought would be interesting. And we have a couple of books about shopping online as well.
Yeah, and I think I picked up from a convention a few years ago a really good book. I think it might have been transcribed rather than written for blind users, but it was a really good 3-volume piece on Alta Vista and learning all about the complexities of Boolean searches and things like that. That was really good. I presume that's still around.
Well, that one we sold out of, and the demand had dropped quite a bit, so I mean, unless we suddenly get a tremendous surge, we probably won't be reprinting that one.
Oh, well, I hope I'm not responsible for generating a surge.
Well, you know, if it's a big enough surge, is worth it. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, we certainly try not to I mean, you know, we try to be responsive to what people want, so, you know, you never know.
Yeah, let's talk a bit about that. How do you determine when, I mean, transcribing a book's one thing, but how do you actually make a decision to approach somebody and say, we believe there's sufficient demand for you to spend all this time writing a book for us to publish? That must be a big decision to make.
It is a tough thing, and it's, Diane Croft has a lot to do with that. She's just got an amazing sense for what, you know, what people need. It's really interesting the way she can talk to a bunch of people and kind of get that. But, you know, one thing is customer service. You know, when people call in, for instance, we're going to be doing a book, a tutorial about using the web with Internet Explorer, because we keep getting people calling up, you know, disappointed that Captured by the Net is not an Internet tutorial, and really, you know, that, you know, having, really wanting that. And so, you know, that's one thing. Also, I try to, be on some of the lists so that, you know, I can kind of hear what people are, some of the mailing lists, like Blind Tech and stuff. I haven't been on there for a while, but I should get back on there, to see what people are talking about. And we do have on our website, a section called What Do You Want? Which is just let people send in mail about, you know, things they'd like to see published. And, you know, we obviously won't do every single thing that one person sends, but if a bunch of people send it, then that's a pretty good indication that it would be a useful thing and that people would want to buy it.
So the website is nbp.org. What kind of things can people find on there at the moment, as well as the What Do You Want section?
Well, we have our whole catalog, which you can either browse or you can download in Braille format or ASCII text. We have a few other free downloads. We have an individual Braille transcription service directory, which is a list of people who do Brailing. And that is that's available in Word or Braille or ASCII format. We have the Declaration of Independence and U.S. Constitution and a computer Braille code reference card. We have those kind of things. We have a section for, you know, contacting staff, and we have one thing if you want to sort of just check something out, kind of, you know, get at a glance what we're doing new. There's a hot off the Braille press link that we try to keep real current with our most recent publications. So let's see. I think there was something else I was going to say about that, but I can't think what it was.
Well, that's right. It might come back.
Pretty much.
Is there a way to get email updates of that hot off the Braille press material, for example, so that people get notified anytime something new comes out?
We're working on that. Hopefully by the end of the year or early in 2001, we've been trying to get our whole database system modernized in the last few months. It's been a long and painful struggle. Hopefully with that being done, then we'll be able to really keep good track of who wants that kind of mail, so that we're not sending it to people who don't want it, but that we can announce things to those that do, because it really is a great way to let people know.
Mm.
And we do hope to get a web store going sometime fairly soon.
Do you have an estimate as to how much of your material is available on disk at the moment?
It's pretty small. We've been experimenting with the portabook format for our own stuff. We've been putting stuff out on ASCII disk, like the one-on-one directory and the our recent blind community email directory, which is blind people and blindness-related organizations, mostly the U.S., but also some other places. Like we have some, if we have a British scuba diving club on there, for instance. But those we have on disk. Then publications that are not our own, we don't put out on ASCII disk, but we'll put some of them out in what we're calling portabook format, which is grade 2 Braille files on disk, formatted so that they're hopefully pretty easy to read with one of the note takers. So for instance, we have two returns between paragraphs, so you can move around by paragraph. We don't have the page numbers stuck in there, you know, to hopefully make that easier. We have a few books in that format. We still haven't gotten a tremendous amount of demand for that, though. So we have, like, we have all four Harry Potter books in that format, as well as in Braille. And some of our big publications, like Captured by the Net, Shop Online, and Safe Without Sight, our self-defense book, that's also on disc, but a lot of them aren't at this point.
That's interesting about the Porter book format, because I actually have a Braille-like macro, and on a big file, you know, 300 or 400K, it takes ages to do exactly what you're talking about. So it's interesting to me that the demand has been perhaps a little lower than anticipated with that.
Yeah, I thought so too. I'm hoping that, you know, it's just as more people. I mean, I know part of it is that Braille lights are expensive, I'm hoping that as more people get Braille lights and Braille notes and such, that the demand will go up for some of that stuff, because it's such a nice thing to be able to load a disc in, to load a file off a disc and cart it around your Braille light or your Braille note instead of a huge book.
And presumably, once you get your web store going, it's only a small leap to then have a system where you can order an electronic copy, whether it be in ASCII or the Porter book format, and download it instantly once your credit card is authorized.
We are definitely looking into that. We kind of have to think about the, you know, the logistics and then the legal issues and stuff, and whether that's okay to do, because we really would like to.
When you clear copyright for works that are being transcribed, are you actually able to distribute those books to sell them overseas, or do you clear copyright only for the U.S.?
Well, in the U.S., anything that's in specialized formats is covered, and
right.
For our Braille materials going overseas is really no problem. Now, the electronic stuff is kind of where we've got to figure out what we can do. And I'm not really even sure, you know, exactly how, you know, but I know we would really like to do it, and I hope that we can.
Well, that's excellent. So there's a lot of material that people can investigate for improving their computer skills and other things besides. Some of us do have lives outside of computers. That's www.nbp.org to find out about that, and more specifically, the one-on-one directory, that's on sale right now, is it? It's actually published now.
Yes, the large print, we're still a couple weeks away, but the Braille and discs are shipping now. So, order away.